love this podcast? Support us by leaving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Hit the link in the episode description to support us now. Thanks for listening and enjoy.
Quack.
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 Quack, 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 quack. That's enough.
I wonder how that's going to sound since this is over Zoom and, you know,
yeah, we're like out of sync. If it sounds anything like it did in my head, it's just like, okay, we're not in sync like the Mighty Ducks. So
yeah, no, we're not in sync. We're the Backstreet Boys. So
right,
you might have guessed from that kick-ass opener that today's subject matter is everyone's favorite hockey movie of all time, The Mighty Ducks. So on that note, I'm Nicole.
And I'm Rolando.
And this is Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals.
An original podcast
about
unoriginality.
Hockey is my favorite sport, actually. Do you have a favorite sport, Rolando?
No. I used to watch football.
Oh, okay.
I used to be in fantasy leagues, but I'm not really a big, spoiler alert, guys, I'm not a big sports watcher. Wow, I am such a cliche gay, you know?
a cliche gay. Hey.
Yes. No, I mean, I only recently picked up Drag Race, you know what I mean?
Oh, but you're a competitive person.
I'm competitive. But I don't watch sports. Like, I used to wrestle in high school.
You think Drag Race is a sport?
Yeah, it's not a contact sport, but it is a sport.
Yeah.
Girl. Thank you.
I'm not really a sports person either. I do love sports movies. Like, I think A League of Their Own, the other major, like, sports film that came out in 1992 is just so fantastic. And I like other sports movies. I can't think of any of them. But like, as terms of actual sports, I think they're all boring as hell, except for hockey. I could watch hockey live, and I'm actually very entertained by the game of hockey.
Oh, interesting. I've seen baseball live, and I've found myself enjoying it. But I don't like watching it on TV.
There you go. Look at that. Hey.
But no one, I feel like no one likes watching baseball on TV.
Apparently they do.
No, that's lies. That's like a
conspiracy.
No,
apparently they do. It's a conspiracy.
He's just like, he's just been brainwashed to think that he enjoys watching it on TV.
This is true. He's always on his phone and in and out of the room. So does he enjoy it? Who knows? But we're not talking about sports. We're talking about a sports movie, The Mighty Ducks. We're kind of talking about the franchise because it all started in 1992 with The Mighty Ducks, got a couple of sequels in an animated series, and just recently on Disney Plus dropped the revival of the property, I guess, in a new TV show called Mighty Ducks Game Changers.
Yeah. The Ducks animated show has nothing to do with the Mighty Ducks, though.
It's just the property of the Ducks.
But yeah, it's just like the name Mighty Ducks.
Yeah.
No, it's like they're literally like ducks that are like saving the world.
There you go. Well, we're not talking about that, actually. So
okay. Because I can't talk about that. I used to watch that as a kid. Never, I had only seen the D3, the Mighty Ducks growing up.
Which is so crazy.
But I did watch that show. I know,
you
right?
You saw The Closer, but you didn't see the first two. So, Eddie, did you watch the Mighty Ducks movies growing up?
Yes.
Do you have a favorite? Seriously.
Religiously.
Me too.
I think the second one definitely was one of my favorites. You know, a little bit older. I like the introduction of the new characters.
Yes.
To the team.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I did enjoy the D2. But yeah, I've seen the Mighty Ducks several times over and over again.
My mind is blown because you are a homosexual. How dare you always accuse me of losing my gay card and you've seen the Mighty Ducks?
Let me remind you that Mighty Ducks is not just about hockey, but it's about making family. It's about misfits joining together. It's about everyone's individual and special talents finding a home in a team.
And that is universal.
Okay, mm-hmm. Fine. You beat me there.
Yeah.
I wonder why I never saw them. I don't think my family was ever into sports movies, so that's not like a thing we ever saw.
It's a Disney movie.
A good
movie,
dog
though.
Movie? It doesn't matter. A good dog movie
you were
we'll
like
watch.
Hardcore Disney.
Yeah, I like Disney animated movies. I didn't care for all Disney movies. I didn't watch The Swan Princess, for example.
Yeah, I guess for me, it's just...
That's not Disney.
I don't think that's Disney, yeah. For for me, I just I saw things, and if it clicked, it clicked, and the Mighty Ducks clicked. And 100% loved D2 growing up. That was always my favorite. That was the one that was on repeatedly and religiously for me. D3, not so much. I actually didn't really like D3. I thought they were too old, and it was getting a little too serious for my liking.
Yeah, probably why I never cared to check out the rest of the franchise. I was just like,
yeah, probably. Yeah, I like it, whatever. You know, I like it more fun and ludicrous, like when they're in Team USA. But we're jumping ahead of ourselves, right? Because what are the Mighty Ducks? So we should do a little history, should we not?
Of course.
Okay, so 1992, like I said, League of Their Own came out that year. What else came out? Unforgiven won Best Picture at the Oscars that year.
I don't know that movie.
1992, Batman Returns came out.
I do know that movie.
It's a Clint Eastwood Western. It was kind of like his way of saying goodbye. It's very dark.
They were still making Clint Eastwood Westerns in 1992. My mind is blown on that one.
A gay classic, Death Becomes Her, came out in 1992.
That is a gay classic. I've never seen it.
Oh, it's really campy.
I know. It's my mom's favorite movie. I've never seen it.
That's so funny. Wow. Your mom's favorite movie? Oh my God, Rolando.
And I've never seen it.
It was actually a pretty strong year in terms of, you know, like being a kid, because there was also Newsies came out. If you ever watched Newsies, Fern Gully, which a lot of people liked. What?
Did anyone like Newsies? I thought that was a flop.
No, I mean, I know a lot of Newsies was strong enough that they made it into a Broadway show.
I mean, that's true. I don't know why, I thought it flopped.
It was strong enough. And also, okay, well, moving on from that, also Wayne's World came out, which I think is another movie of our youth. But yeah,
I don't think that was a kid's movie, though.
No, I graduated from talking about kids' movies. But regardless,
Avatar, so.
Yes, we've all seen Avatar and Pocahontas and Dances with Wolves and Fern Gully. Mighty Ducks came out in 1992. I mean, it's really simple. The film was written by a writer named Steve Brill. A writer named Steve Brill, yes. He actually he sued for royalties for the film. I guess, you know, he didn't think it was going to be as much of a smash as it was. Or maybe they just didn't even offer it to him.
They probably, I don't know. I could see why no one thought this movie would be a success.
Yeah. Well, the biggest star was Emilio Estevez, who at that time was just not killing it.
There you go. I didn't even think about it. Because I know Emilio Estevez, but like even then I was just like, I don't know. This movie, it's little kids playing hockey in Minnesota. What studio is saying, it's just like, yeah, here, take all the money. This movie is going to make bank.
I think it was a sleeper, actually, because, you know, the budget was only $14 million and the box office was about $50 million.
So this
was a big success.
They
released it at a good time. They released it in October, which is a good time for releasing movies.
Yes.
Is it? So they had faith in it, I guess. But, you know, it's not like they put it in February or March or August.
Right.
It was
always a Disney movie.
It is. Yes, it was released. It was distributed by Disney, but it was also you know, like Touchwood and Buena Vista Pictures and stuff. Okay. So it was a subsidiary of Disney. The movie, actually, the director we've talked about before on this podcast, he also directed Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Oh, okay.
We will be talking about him some more because he did 101 Dalmatians.
Oh,
the Three Musketeers. Guys. Yeah, we're probably going to be covering Cruella.
Wait, is it the Three Musketeers that you guys were talking about that I've never seen?
Yes,
The one with Chris O'Donnell?
Sheen and Chris O'Donnell and Kiefer Sutherland, yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've never seen that one, wow.
Yeah. He also, oh my God, he's directed some random-ass movies, man. You remember that movie Rockstar with Mark Wahlberg?
I actually do remember that movie. I never seen it, but I do remember it.
Yeah, that's his movie. And this Angelina Jolie movie called Life or Something Like It, he also directed, so.
Everyone vaguely sounds familiar, but I don't know.
She looks like Marilyn Monroe in it, and it was just not very good. So anyway, Mighty Ducks, plot-wise, like Rolando said, it's just about a peewee hockey team in Minneapolis. But, you know, it's a little bit more than that. So there's a character named Gordon Bombay, and that's who Emilio Estevez plays. And he's pretty much this, you know, like full of himself, arrogant defense attorney. And when he goes out drinking one night, he gets arrested for drunk driving, has to do community service, and what does he get? He has to coach the District 5 Pee Wee hockey team.
Whoa, 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 whoa,
whoa.
He doesn't he actually doesn't get that. He was ready to go to trial, but his boss intervenes, talking to the judge, and gets him.
I'm trying to sum this up as quickly as I
can. That's an important distinction, because there's a lot of white privilege that happens in this movie when I was watching it. I was just
interesting.
What a privileged life we live.
Yeah, what a benefit to look at it for the first time, because I look at it through nostalgic eyes. So, you know, I might not see that as easily as you. But yeah, so it turns out Gordon Bombay, you know, he loves hockey. He pursued it, but he had a really bad experience with his old coach, who pretty much told him that he wasn't very good at it, and he gave it up. So it's kind of like him addressing this part of himself that he kept hidden for so long by coaching these kids.
Uh-huh.
And the kids themselves are, you know, they're kind of the outcasts. They didn't get it into like this other team. And, you know, they don't, at first look, they just, you don't think that they're going to make a very good team. They're not what you would think would make a hockey team.
Yeah. But they're but they're divided by districts. So they're not even, my assumption is that this happens to be a poor district.
Mm-hmm.
A poor district in Minnesota.
It just so happens that, yes, they happen to be a poor district and all the good kids live in another.
What city was this? This is Minneapolis?
Minneapolis, Minnesota. Okay. Yeah. Minneapolis. Where hockey is quite big
there. Right. Yes.
So some of the kids that are important because they come back in the sequels and whatnot, and maybe even in this new one, you know, there's kind of like the leader of the kid, Charlie Conway, who is played by Joshua Jackson, and who Gordon Bombay, mm-hmm. you know, ends up forming this relationship with, and his mother. There's Fulton Reed, who's kind of looks way too old and way too, you know, kind of awkward stage.
He's a tall guy, right?
He's the tall guy who hits the slap shot in the window.
Yeah, he's Foggy from Daredevil on Netflix. That's how I know him.
Okay.
And
he's in the Marvel Universe, in other words.
Yes.
All right, cool. There's Averman, who's like your you know, jokester, quoting like Rob Schneider, Saturday Night Live skits.
Annoying one, yeah.
The annoying one, I guess, yeah. There's Goldberg. The goalie,
Goldberg, I thought was Hispanic. Yeah.
And yes, no, he's not Hispanic. I believe he's Jewish. Is he not?
Yeah, he's Jewish. I swear, I thought he was either Hispanic or Polynesian.
Yeah, he's beautifully ambiguous. Good for him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There's
I have stuff to share about him.
Yeah, well, we all know that, you know, he.
Oh, we all know. Damn, I found that out.
Share. You should.
All right. He hit a very, very rough patch, like, as a celebrity children. He's like proof of that celebrity child, mm-hmm. where when I Googled his name, because I wanted to see, he's like, oh, I wonder where this whole cast is now. You Google his name, and the first picture that shows up is, like, this really sad-looking person with addiction problems.
Yeah.
And I was just like, that can't be him. I thought it was, you know, I thought it was like one of, you know, those like rumors,
the clickbait ones.
Yeah, like clickbait rumors. Didn't think it was real, and then I read up and I'm just like, oh, this is like, he really was a meth head, and he really, you know, you see this like chubby little, you know, full of life kid on in your movie, and then you see this horrific picture of like what addiction can do to you. And luckily he has recovered, at least
I read
like he has, you know, made a recovery and stuff. Yeah. But that I think I was looking it up because I was just like, oh, I wonder where the rest of the cast for, you know, who didn't come to Game Changers.
Mm-hmm,
so you know, that's why this thought process came up. And I'm like, well, I could see why he didn't come. I'm sure Disney was just like, well, we can't have you for reasons, obviously.
You don't know.
Even though you're
know.
Sober. All right. Yeah, you maybe.
Know. You don't
know. I suspect, no, there's
you
no.
You don't know.
I'm going to. The mouse is a very, very cruel, cruel creature. All right. Mickey Mouse. All right. Yeah. Like, he's not down with that. He's just like, I'm so glad you're doing well, but you're not going to be on this show.
Absolutely.
So that's just my guess.
Well, so moving on, we also have, just naming a couple, we have Connie Moreau, played by Marguerite Moriot, who's grew up to be a very beautiful, lovely woman.
The only one of two females. On
Yes. There's Guy Germain, and there's Philip Banks, Jesse Hall, David Karp. So these are just some of the different members on the team.
Yeah, there's a lot of team members. Like,
a lot of team members. You know.
There's only a few that we care about, and that would be Charlie and that little one in the leather jacket. He was adorable. I don't know. Peter, I think was his name.
Peter Mark. Yeah, Mark.
Yeah, the little, he was so adorable in that little leather jacket and stuff. He's like, yeah. How are you in hockey? You're going to get knocked around.
Yeah. And Banks has like a story that we follow. Because Banks one? Was in the other district and Banks. They're like, actually, you're in this district. And he was in the other I team.
Did we care about his story? I didn't care about his story.
Well, he had growth, you know. He like at first didn't want to be part of the team, but then he grew to love it and realized that was where he belonged.
That's a very strong word for what his story arc was, growth. you are watching this through nostalgic eyes. That's so the irony.
That is,
it's
for
so,
sure.
This is like, it's so rare when this happens. Between you and I, right? Like, I'm usually the one who looks at it through nostalgic eyes, and never seen this movie.
I was
until
the one
now,
who watched
so.
It repeatedly and religiously.
Yeah.
I will say D2 more so. And I did watch it recently, and I was like, oh man, this movie is a mess, but I am all for it. I was having such a good time watching that movie.
What, D2 or D2? The Mighty Ducks?
D2. The Mighty Ducks, see. I think, is good, but.
Oh, yeah, I think it's a very
fun.
Structurally sound movie. I can see, I understand the appeal of watching it. It's a very, very. It's a very charming movie. And you know.
And I think in terms of growth, that's more so, you know, the main character is Gordon Bombay. It's Gordon Bombay's story, mm-hmm. you know, him like revisiting this part of himself, you know. And when the movie begins, I mean, he is really kind of an asshole. Gordon Bombay is an asshole.
Yeah. No, he truly, truly is. He
calls them losers. He does not. He speaks very down to them.
Well, yeah. Yeah. So he treats people in a very non-PC way. That's. Yes. Some would deem problematic in 2021. But he, I was more taken aback by how he, you know, the legal system and how he plays fast and loose with it. Right. You know, I mean,
I also think it's a Hollywood depiction of the legal system. Like,
well, yeah, but
really
it's like interesting
like that
this would happen in Minneapolis, because Minneapolis has been a hotbed for, activism in recent memory. So yes. I'm just saying.
Yes.
Of course the white lawyer is the one who tries to get away with all this shit. I'm just saying. That's just me.
Good point.
Watching it in 2021, you know, movie that came out in the 90s.
So it turns out that Gordon Bombay was really undermined by his coach. I think his name was Coach Riley,
who I thought was a dad from Wonder Years, but it turns out was not.
Yeah, where do we know him from? Do we know him?
I don't know him. I thought he was a dad from Wonder Years.
He was in Lois and Clark.
Oh. Who was he? Was he Perry Mason?
No, I don't think so.
No, okay.
Oh, no, wait. He was Perry White.
Oh.
Perry
Mason.
Wait,
Perry
Mason
is our detective. I'm sorry. Yeah. Perry White, you're right. I knew Perry. Yes. Yeah, he was a talk about. I mean, Bombay's a dick, but like this guy takes it. He's like even a bigger dick, right? Like the way you talk to that child is just like, if you don't make this hockey, if you don't make this goal, I won't love you.
Yes,
that's
seriously.
That's basically what he said to this poor kid who has abandonment issues because his father died. His father died.
Yeah, I think right? I'm pretty sure. Yeah,
it wasn't a walkout.
Yeah.
Okay. Charlie's father walked out. Got it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Gordon Bombay has daddy issues too, so.
I mean, don't most leading men do.
Yeah. But so he has to come to, you know, terms with, you know, the damage that man did to him. And that man is still coaching hockey. And, you know, it's all about getting his team ready to that final showdown where not only his team can defeat Coach Riley's team, but it's almost like Bombay can defeat the demon within himself that is Coach Riley.
Yeah. Interesting. So. You skipped, I think, a major plot point here, which is the fact
that's
that
the overarching theme.
Yeah.
But yes,
I mean, yeah, but he loses his job in the process, which I think was such a confusing arc when I was watching it. I'm just like, because we start off with Mr. Ducksworth, who really wants Gordon Bombay to be a better person.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then in the third act, he pulls his shit where he's just like, he's just as evil as everybody else. I'm just like, wait, I'm confused. Why are you evil now?
True,
they gave you. They named the team the Mighty Ducks after you. And why are you siding with the bad guys? It was a very confusing. It was a 180 that I wasn't expecting from Mr. Ducksworth. I thought Mr. Ducksworth was gonna. Well, honestly, I thought he was gonna die and leave his fortunes to Gordon Bombay. It's just like you have learned your. I don't know. That's where it was a Disney movie, guys. So this is what I thought.
That became Hans. It's almost like Hans stepped into that character of like helping Gordon Bombay. You know, find like figure out who he really is and become
the
a better person.
No.
No, the German man.
Oh, right. The guy who makes the skates.
Yes.
Hans. The guy who owns, like, apparently the one sports shop in all of Minneapolis.
Yes.
Right. What a Libby.
Yeah, so, I mean, I agree with you. And I do think that the script, I mean, you said it was structurally sound, and I think it is too. But there are things, you know, at the end of the day, you're also like, oh, this is working like a kid's movie where everything like kind of just like happens and then just for it to like get, you know, resolved.
Right.
So it didn't bother me that much.
I mean, no, it didn't bother me. It caught me off guard, but I wouldn't say it bothered me. Like, you know. It's a movie. And you're right. Yeah, it is a movie for kids.
It's a harmless movie, too, at that, you know. Unless, although you did mention that you wanted to call out other white privileges within this film.
Oh, there's a lot of white privilege that Gordon Babé exhibits. I mean, the fact that he'd been such a dick to the DA in this film, that, like, the DA is really gunning for him when he got that DUI. So the fact that you have, like, this rich man Duxworth coming in and, like, saving the day for you, it really just piss me off of just like, it's just like, well, he needs to learn his lesson, right? And I get it. Gordon Bombay learns his lesson, but he learns it through like charity work, which is fine, but like he still should be punished for drinking and driving. I take drinking and driving like pretty serious. I've learned like it's not one of the things I tolerate, even in films, especially for kids. It's like, what a bad message, I guess.
Yeah.
And I get it. Like, I understand he got arrested and then he has to go through trial. But like the fact that like this white guy, Duxworth, intervenes to get his like number one lawyer out from under, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's so casual.
It definitely rubbed me the wrong way.
No, absolutely.
It really did.
Yeah, just when you also, like, one, it's a movie, but two, it's like, no, that probably happens, and that's something that I'll never know the luxury of.
Mm-hmm. And then the way he also spoke to the kids, like, I was also taken aback. Some of the kids were called Oreo because it was, like, two black kids and one white kid.
Oh, wow, I think I missed that.
What?
So, go back. Say in the contents. They were called the Oreo line.
Yes,
right?
They were called the Oreo line. I remember hearing that.
And it was the two, the brothers, the Hall brothers.
Yeah.
And their friend. And so one hockey player made a comment, right? Made a comment, oh, the Oreo line, right?
Uh-huh.
Then they took that, right? And so instead of like being mad about that, they changed it up.
They started
calling themselves the Oreo line.
There you go.
They knew when it was the Oreo line, that was a play.
I feel like it's okay for them to say it, but
so
not
they
Gordon
empowered Bombay. Themselves.
But no, you're right. They empowered themselves with it. I just thought
but
it wasn't.
It wasn't Gordon. It wasn't
Gordon Bombay said it like, "Go Oreo line." He says,
"No,
it.
He said the play was them. Yeah, them as a group, but he knew that was their play.
Don't call it that." It was just like I'm just saying. It's just like I don't know. I get it. It was a funny joke. It was, but I remember when I heard it, I was just like, gasp! Like Jesus.
Yeah.
Like this would not fly on Disney 2021. You know what I mean? But no. Like, honestly, like, I was more upset about the drunk driving than the Oreo thing. The Oreo thing just did catch me. I was very much, when I heard of, just like, gasp. I clutched my pearls. This is his movie, I thought.
I agree with you that there are things that are being represented very casually in this Disney movie that shouldn't. Drunk driving, you know, like, working around the legal system, stuff like that should not just be taken in, like, because when a child watches that, it's like, oh, okay, so I can drive drunk. So I can, like, you know. Work around the legal system.
What's the child doing? Driving in his Tonka?
You know what I mean? Like, oh, it's socially acceptable. It's in movies, and he got away with it. You know,
yeah,
kind of.
And he did. He did, though. But that's the thing. He did get away with it. And I get it. He changed. But, like, I feel like, I don't know. Maybe they should have. I feel like if I was remaking this movie, it would not be drunk driving. It would be, like, maybe not indecent exposure. What's the one where you're drunk in public? Public nuisance?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Sure.
Like, tone it down a little. It's a kid's movie. Disney.
For sure. What did you find the arc of Gordon Bombay believable? You know, did you feel for it? Did it evoke anything out of you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can relate because Gordon Bombay was out for revenge. And I feel like that's something we can all relate to.
Yeah. And ended up being better for it and finding, you know, like, things he loved and reconciliation within himself. And that's always something that is a good message. That's a good message.
You think revenge is a good message?
No, it's not.
No,
it wasn't about revenge.
But
revenge.
It was, wasn't it? Like,
it was about becoming the best version of himself.
Yes.
And also, revenge. Like, through making a point, through making a point to the other coach, though.
No, but okay, yeah, there is a point that needs to be made.
Uh-huh.
But it's like, the adult version, okay, of Bombay is taking back the power that he lost as a child to right. this to this father figure, this yes. coach, right? But by doing that also too, it's also giving value to what he's done with the kids too, because he's fighting for them.
Yes,
he's fighting for opportunity and chance, and that they deserve to be there. The idea is when it comes to the Hawks, you don't deserve to be on the same ice with the Hawks. You're not worthy to play with us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Gordon Bombay took District 5 and he created them into the Mighty Ducks.
Okay? Yes.
And in their own process, he gets an opportunity to say, you have no power over me. You have no power over me. Okay. And I'm going to take back what I lost when I was a kid. Yeah. And that was my love for hockey, my love for this game.
Yes, that's not revenge. That's true.
Yeah, fine. That's
something different.
It starts off as revenge. It turns into something different.
Yes, yes. And that's also part of his arc is that, no, I'm doing this for the wrong reasons. I need to do this more for me.
No, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. No, I thought Gordon Bombay, he was very likable by the end of the film.
Yes.
Right. And you could just, and you know, you see a little transformation on camera where he is in suits and then he dresses down.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. More modestly. And
right. And we see his growth. What's the other thing? The other major arc is Charlie.
The kids. Yeah. Charlie and his teammates.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I mean, the kids like learning that they can be good players when coached properly, but Charlie would be like your main character of the kids, I think, right?
Yes, because he would.
Charlie also has daddy issues, and in Gordon Bombay, he sees a father figure, mm-hmm. and so he's trying to he's not very coy about this, but he's really pushing Mom and Gordon Bombay to be together.
Yeah,
in a way that I thought was, and the word's not inappropriate, but I just feel like, you're playing with fire, kid. You know that, right? Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't feel like Gordon Bombay is the kind of guy. He's not married yet, and he was a rich lawyer, so I don't know if being a coach is going to make him want to settle down.
Well, I love how it became a thing too. Not so much in the third one, but like in the second one, where like Charlie's mom was out of the picture, and then he just started hitting on their teacher.
Oh, that's what I'm going to say, because I don't remember her in D3.
Yes, she wasn't in D3.
Uh huh.
And, you know, she wasn't in D2 either, and he just moved on to some other chick. And now, you know, in Game Changers, there's some other chick. So it's like Gordon Bombay has, like, a Bond girl.
He's a fuckboy.
He's a little bit of a fuckboy, that's right.
Yeah. I like his voice so much. I think he has such a, like
it's a very unique voice, for sure.
It's so non-threatening.
Yeah, okay. I could see that.
Like, yeah, like, I don't mean that in a mean way. I mean, like, it's like a very pleasant voice to like listen to and like watch. And his voice is very expressive in a mm-hmm. way that makes me like his character more as I see more of the character.
That's cute. Okay.
Does that make sense? I don't know.
Yeah. No, I see what you're saying. Yeah. I definitely like him better than his brother. So. Charlie Sheen. Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. But what do you think of their dad?
Martin Sheen's cool. I have, you know. No opinion.
But who do you prefer better out of that family?
Oh my gosh, we're spending a lot of time on this. I guess from from my
youth. You brought
youth,
it up, not me.
From my youth and the association of him, I would probably say Emilio. Yeah.
Okay.
And he's also the only one that kept his real name. Yeah.
I was going to say, yeah, he's the one who kept his real name.
Yeah. Also, I just want to say that the team itself, you know, it's an underdog story. You know, these kids weren't being coached properly and they didn't even, you know, consider themselves to be good players, and at the end, you know, they became the best team. And in the second one, they became so good, and the underdog, you know, triumphed in the end, that they played in the Teen Olympics for Team USA. And then in the third one, you know, when they all went to college and stuff, their identification as these Ducks was so powerful that they became Ducks in college.
I mean, yeah.
So the Ducks within the universe of the Mighty Ducks franchise became a powerhouse. Which right. they actually incorporated into this new revival with this new TV show, Mighty yeah. Ducks Game Changers.
It is a revival, for yeah, sure.
I would say so. Also, this movie was so successful that Disney actually founded the NHL hockey team, the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim, because of this film.
Oh, I was always wondering. So I didn't know that.
Which they literally mention in the movie. In the show? In D2, right? They mention it?
Yeah. That there's going to... And that their jerseys were very similar.
Yeah.
Right now, they're just known as the Anaheim Ducks, and they still play, and they've actually won a Stanley Cup or two. They've won one, sorry. But
they got
that
Disney money behind them.
They got Disney money friggin' behind them. Disney had its own NHL team. Crazy.
I knew the Ducks were a team. I didn't know this, but I assumed that it was like, oh, I guess the Mighty Ducks is just like really ripping off on their name. Like the movie, not the team. I thought it was the reverse. I didn't know that the team was inspired by the Ducks created by. That's so interesting. Huh, look at that.
Mm-hmm.
What a world we live in.
What a world, seriously.
Corporations, man.
Friggin' Disney.
You know?
But yeah, so maybe now we should talk about this new show, Game Changers.
Let's talk about Game Changers. First of all, I want to say, Disney, how dare you steal the word Game Changers when everybody knows that is the name of the other podcast that I show run, Game Changers in Medicine. So
yeah, seriously.
They will be hearing from my lawyer soon enough, all right?
It's just proof that they listen to our podcast.
And yet I see no money.
But yeah, I heard about this show a couple years ago in like 2018. I think they were developing the show for a while. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And then they said it would be a Disney Plus thing. And then I guess they just waited for whatever reason.
Maybe it took them a while to film because of COVID also.
Yeah, maybe. It could have been that. I actually don't know.
That and you know, because a lot of Disney Plus shows got delayed because of COVID.
Oh, right. Yeah, it was because of COVID.
Oh, so yeah, right. I kind of figured. Yeah. Oh, you know, the kids are carriers, so it's just like Disney was just like, whoa.
Yes, exactly.
We can't have this.
Actually, the writer, Steve Brill, he actually also developed this TV show. So the original writer was involved with this revival.
And Disney allowed that after he sued them for royalties?
I guess. Right.
That's so shocked. I feel like corporations usually punish those that try to rebel against them.
Well, he's actually pretty successful as of nowadays. Like, you know that, I mean, successful in the terms of where he's very active. Like, you know that Adam Sandler movie, Hubie Halloween?
Nope, never.
Well, it's on Netflix. He wrote it. He directed it.
Oh, that's, okay.
Yeah, he was the director and writer of Heavyweights.
Oh, I like Heavyweights.
Yeah, see, there you go. He did Mr. Deeds, other comedic movies that, you know, you might know, like Without a Paddle.
That was also Adam Sandler. Is he like Adam? Or he
works a lot with Adam Sandler.
Oh, bummer.
But I like his work in the Mighty Ducks. I like this whole Mighty Ducks thing. So, all right, Rolando, I'm going to hand this one to you. Tell us what Game Changers is about.
So Game Changers is taking place in Minnesota where, I actually don't know the main characters' names.
I'm pretty sure it's Evan.
Evan. Is Evan the main character?
It's Evan, yeah.
Okay,
Evan.
So Evan is the weakest link in the new Mighty Ducks team, right? Well, so the Mighty Ducks now are like
the Hawks.
The Hawks from the original movie where they're like this kick-ass team. They are larger than life. And I happen to know this is true because my boss's son is in like hockey, but like the culture around kids hockey is very, very cutthroat and very, very serious. And so Evan kind of doesn't perform as well as like this dickhead coach wants him to and cuts him from the team in a very, very public execution style.
Yep.
And his mom stands up to the coach and makes a scene, but mom decides, you know, I'm going to help you start your own team. Let's start a team. And so, you know, they work together to start a team. And in order to have a team, you need to have players. So Evan is recruiting for this new team. And mom is trying to find a rink where they can practice, and enter Gordon Bombay. Down on his luck, owns an ice skating rink. What happened to our wonderful lawyer? I don't know. But that is the mystery of the show.
That is the mystery, yes.
And little by little, he starts, the team comes together and they become the Don't Bothers, right? Because, I don't know, they're trying to take ownership of of what the coach has said. Don't bother. What was it? Don't bother. Why is it don't bothers?
It's something that, yeah. That
the coach said something, something, yeah, something yeah. mean about, like, don't bother playing if you can't win, something like that. I feel
something like that, yeah. Or, like, if, you know, you're not, like, a certain fit or build, don't even bother kind of a thing.
That's it. You're right. If you're not, if you're, okay, the coach has said to the mom, it's like, if you're not doing this, if you're not at this level yet, don't even bother playing.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. the mom took that to heart, so they became the Don't Bothers. What a terrible yeah. team name, though. It drives me
it's
crazy.
It's a terrible name, yes.
But like, I know, I understand you're taking ownership, but, like, you couldn't make that this, like, the tagline for your team.
True, yeah.
So it's like, he makes, Coach T says, at this age, if you can't be a great at hockey, it's like, don't bother.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
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 All right. But in tradition of the Mighty Ducks, they take this negative term or they take this negative word and they transform it. They own it. And they're like, it's like a middle finger back to you.
It is. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I get it. I mean, just
it's,
think
it's not
I just
the best
it,
name.
Yeah. No, it's not the best name. And of course, we know that this is it'll evolve, but
it will.
It's definitely kind of like a stand.
Yeah.
You know, when no one is expecting or no one is even thinking,
yep.
you can make a stand. You know, this single mom makes a stand. Yeah. By the way, played by the lovely
Lauren Graham.
Graham from Gilmore Girls.
Giving me Lorelai vibes the whole time.
continues always to play a strong single mom character.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
What a grand tradition she weaves.
She and
wonderfully
it works, always.
Socially awkward, but like so charming. Yeah.
Yes. And it's like you always feel for her and you root for her. Mm-hmm. And I just really think it's just a beautiful love letter of like a single mom trying to make something happen for her son who loves hockey so much.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if there's a shining character here, I would say, oh, all characters. All right. I'm going to say this right now. I think all the characters in this show are so charming. But the mom, for sure, for me, is the one that kind of wins my heart because she has to constantly stand up to that her boss lady who I can't stand but
Stephanie.
In a funny way.
Yeah.
I can't stand her. Yeah. I enjoy watching her because like she's such a bitch, but I enjoy it. It's like a good performance to watch, but my God. And you're always, you know, I mean, this is like classic. This is like very, very manipulative writing, but like it works when it works.
She has absolutely like no qualities that's redeeming about her. So
uh-huh.
It's very easy to hate her.
Right.
I will say that my favorite is Nick. I think that kid is just so adorable.
Which one's Nick?
Maxwell
podcaster?
No, he was the podcaster. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, okay, fine. Let's gush over
the
Nick.
The best line. So I have more of a podcasting body.
Yeah.
He is. Yeah, he has a delivery of like an old man, I feel like. He's like an old spirit to him.
Yeah, there's just something about him. Maybe it's his lisp. Maybe
it
it's
could
his
be the
lines
lisp, yeah.
And his naivete that just works so well. He's just a great character, and I actually really enjoy him. And he's adorable. He's adorable, little kid.
Yeah, he's a fun watch. Yeah. The main character, Evan, actually, though, if you used to watch the show growing up called Recess, he gives me TJ vibes, like, through and through. Like, you know, team leader, charismatic, you know, kind of the glue that holds everyone together. And the team is made up by, like, again, similar to the Mighty Ducks, these are even more so outcasts. To some degree, right? Like you have the skater boy who loves to do physical harm to himself.
Mm-hmm.
The video gamer with weight issues who is also, I don't know. He's only screen centric, right? He doesn't want to perform out in the real world. And you have the Canadian who moved to Minnesota who, you know, has like the great gear but can't play hockey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you have Evan's best friend Shuri? Susie?
Sophie.
Yes, yeah, Sophie. And Sophie, she used to be a Mighty Ducks and then she'll like defect to the Don't Bothers.
Yeah.
In like an important story.
Because the big thing about the show is that, you know, Lauren Graham's character is like, why is this so serious? You know, like, why are we like almost like making our kids robots just so that they can be successful 10, 20 years? Like, why isn't anybody having fun about this anymore? Why is it all about winning?
That's right. She's giving her best Heath Ledger performance.
What?
Do you get it? Do you guys get it?
No.
No? Why so serious?
There you go.
The Joker. Yeah.
Yeah. I should have known.
I'm going to Photoshop Lori Graham in like Joker makeup.
Oh, there you go. Why so serious? Hey, I like that. I like that.
And it's very, very, the colors are very similar to the ducks. So
yeah.
you guys watch out for that.
Yes. And they'll be expecting it. So demand it from Rolando.
It might be the cover for the episode.
That actually would be so cute. Mm-hmm.
I don't find like per se like these particular kids being like school misfits. In the sense of they all come from from other groups.
That's true.
In the school where they find themselves to be popular within that group. You have like the fantasy D&D girl.
Yeah. LARPer.
Yeah. And then you have, you have the girl who's from like the popular girl group. Mm-hmm.
Where's she from, Eddie?
I don't know.
New York. That's her joke.
Oh, New York. I'm from the city. Yes. I'm from the city.
Oh, what city?
What city?
New York.
So
it's just like you're in Minneapolis, like Jesus.
So like all these kids have their own niches and all these kids have their own like your place where they could connect.
Yeah.
But here it's like kind of a call to be part of this hockey team.
Mm-hmm.
That like it's like the opportunity to do something different, the opportunity to step out of yourself, to feel part of something bigger, you know, like this call of adventure.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think that for sure. They're, Evan gives a call to adventure and they all come like in the Fellowship of the Rings. Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that, but it's true.
And, you know, everyone's living in like kind of the shadow of the Ducks. You know, the Ducks are such a powerhouse. Like everyone's obsessed with them. They're like the team that like scouts come to look for future hockey players of the NHL at the Ducks games, right? Like the
right.
Ducks went through a complete reversal from being the underdog in the 90s to now being in 2021 this established powerhouse. That forgot who they were essentially, and it's so funny because did anyone else get like Cobra Kai vibes in this?
Yes.
Oh my God! Yes. Absolutely. Yes. Totally.
I mean, Cobra Kai has set the standard for how to successfully revive something but make something new out of it.
Right.
And how to like flip your original, property for something really engaging.
Yeah, because I think what made season one of Cobra Kai so engaging is seeing, on some degree, the bad guys that we knew be the protagonists.
Yep.
In this case, it's a reverse, right? Where we see the protagonists actually actively become the antagonists in this one. Where it was a reverse for Cobra Kai. Does that make sense?
That does make sense, yes.
Okay. In case you guys don't get it, but like, I just want to just clarify this for our listeners because, you may not know all terminology here, but I'm just saying that because I feel like I've gotten listener mail where they're just like, in Cobra Kai, the bad guys for the Karate Kid were Cobra Kai, and we get to see them now become the heroes, right? And that's not to say that the good guys were bad guys, right? That's just to say they were the antagonists. But here, the heroes that we were rooting for in the movies, they actively become the bad guys.
Yep.
The antagonists and stuff. So that would be the key major difference. And I think it works to great success. And that's also part of Gordon Bombay's journey throughout all of this here, where I think, again, using that formula of bringing, similar to how in Cobra Kai, we start off with the main character kind of down on his luck. We see Gordon Bombay kind of go through that too, where he has self-isolated from the Ducks because the Ducks were clearly going down a path that he just wasn't down with.
Yep.
And now he owns, for some reason, an ice hockey rink.
I think Hans gave it to him. Like it was passed down from Hans.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
I think he said that, yeah.
Is that a rink that, like, was it in any of the movies?
It might have been. That was a attention to detail that I never noticed. So it might have been. But so Gordon Bombay is back to being an asshole. But he's also like former glory, now he's just like kind of disconnected from who he was and everything he once knew.
Yeah. I wouldn't say he's an asshole as much as he's more crotchety.
Well, so I would say he's an edgelord. At least they're trying to give him like edgelord vibes where, you know, what? He's like edgelord.
I don't know what that is. No.
All right. Let me get the definition because I want to be as accurate as possible.
Okay. Have you heard this term, Eddie?
No.
Yeah. Enlighten us.
So an edgelord is someone who deliberately talks about controversial, offensive, or nihilistic subjects in order to shock others in an effort to appear cool or edgy.
Who in what? How is he an edgelord?
Oh, he's just like trying to come off as like so cool and like such a dick, you know?
Yeah, he's very aloof, but he wasn't saying
aloof. That's such a good characteristic of an edgelord.
No, but it sounds like an edgelord is saying things that are like,
I mean,
controversial.
He's not as like, you know, amplified, you know, like
yeah, like an edgelord would be
the main character of the Magicians.
Oh, he's not an edgelord.
He's an edgelord.
No way. I was going to say actually Clint Eastwood's character in that car, Gran Torino. That's an edgelord.
He's got some, but he did it more so because he was an ignorant old racist, whereas edgelords do it to appear cool and edgy.
Quilton does
and
not.
Like, I would say that Gordon Bombay does it to kind of like, you know, like protect himself, one. Mm-hmm. But also like, I don't care, you know, don't talk to me about your life, get out of here, you know. There is something kind of edgy about the way, even though he clearly cares and he kind of enjoys being a dick.
That's so interesting. We saw two very different portrayals. Could it be from how you grew up watching him that maybe it affected how he is now? Because I just thought of him as just a crotchety, cranky guy, and I'm just like, well, I would be cranky too if, like, I find out that Eddie kept telling me, he's like, well, how did his life get to this? He used to be a lawyer. I'm like, if I was a lawyer, this is where I end up. I'd be cranky too. So, like,
well,
I don't.
You know, the one thing about
that checks.
The one thing about the portrayal of Gordon Bombay in the Mighty Ducks franchises is that they don't shy away from making him flawed. You know, in the first movie, he is a bit of a dick and, you know, arrogant. And the second one, he gets carried away with, like, the fame and fortune aspect of it, and he kind of loses sight of, you know, being a coach to the kids.
Right.
So, like, you know, he's kind of flighty, and he has, like, you know, he's had mean streaks to him before. So at first I was like, why are they doing this to Gordon Bombay? But when I went back and rewatched the other films, I was like, oh no, wait, this would so be Gordon Bombay. He would so become a dick just to protect himself because he's miserable and because he's no longer doing what he wants. Like, this is actually very characteristically for him.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I didn't have the baggage of knowing Gordon Bombay that well just because I saw the third one, and I also, I don't remember that well, so I was just watching this show. And again, I was enamored more so by the rest of the storylines, but I think they did a good job of fleshing out what got Gordon Bombay to where he is now in a way that felt organic to the story without, like, kind of doing an exposition dump.
Yeah, no, for sure. Especially like they kept, like, in the sixth episode. With the whole benefit reunion. Concert and the reunion and stuff. Yeah.
So fun fact, guys, we actually thought that I thought this was a season finale, and I was just like, oh, perfect. We're covering it just in time. But it turns out that there are going to be four more episodes.
Yes.
The big question on everyone's mind is, do we think Charlie will return at all? They name dropped him.
They did name drop him. Yeah.
And I didn't know who Charlie was. Eddie was or who told me. It's like, that's Joshua Jackson. And I was like, I forgot Joshua Jackson was part of this series. Because Joshua Jackson does not look like Joshua Jackson in the original. And I don't remember him very well in the third one. I think the movie was about him, though. Like, not being a team captain or something. And he was all butthurt about it.
No, he was absolutely a part of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, so I do think that... I mean, it's interesting that the way they said, like, Charlie did. Because it was like, you know, Coach doesn't show up for us anymore. Why should we show up for him? You know, and there's definitely that sense of camaraderie within the Ducks that got instilled in, like, the brand of the Ducks within this universe.
Yeah.
So when they went to the gala or whatever, and they saw what the Ducks had become, and just so, you know, like, highbrow and up its own asshole, essentially, without Gordon Bombay, you know, it was nice that they tried to take it back for themselves, but the Ducks.
Man, the Ducks just love taking ownership of shit. It's like, can we focus on real issues, guys? How about that?
Yeah.
You know, Minneapolis is a hotbed of racism at the moment. So,
yeah,
like,
seriously.
No, I get it. This show, I'm in jest here, guys. Like, obviously, this is a show about hockey and stuff. Like, they don't have to, like, you don't have to, like,
make a statement.
You don't have to, like, that's fine. Like, this show, this is This is absolute escapism, and it works at that. I think it's great. This is a show. Oh, man, I remember when we saw the first two episodes like right in a row, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, it was just like, I can't believe Disney's making me wait. Like, this is such a cute show. Just give me the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a cute show.
It is a smart move on behalf of Disney, because that's how they get people to permanently stay members.
Coming back. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
All right. So we've actually talked about all these different elements of the show. So far, how is the show working for you?
I actually think that the show is very charming. I think that the balance of the kids, Gordon Bombay, and then the mother, because the mother is practically the other main character of the show.
Right.
And, you know, I'm a Gilmore Girls fan. I dig Lauren Graham's vibe. So I am a little bit about that. I guess I felt like maybe they should have developed her character later in the series instead of immediately. And maybe we should have developed some of the other kids. The two girls in their story about, you know, them like, being really, like, really closer than the hockey team, but then when they're in school, you know, like they ignore each other and they're kind of embarrassed of each other, and then they, you know.
How much depth do you want from these kids? I mean, this is also.
Well, how else am I going to care about them? I mean, I was able to care about most of the kids in the movie and it did in an hour and a half.
Did you really care for most of those kids? Because I literally only cared about Charlie and maybe the tall guy.
Okay. Thanks. I also watched all the movies. And watch them over and over and over and over again. So.
Like by the end of the first one, yeah, they were a team. But like, I kept thinking is like, whenever Averman talked, I'm just like, God, you're so fucking annoying. And the only ones I could really remember by names were Charlie, and I didn't even remember Banks. I just know him because he was a tall one, right? Banks, yeah. The tall one. The first movie, it was just like, I didn't get to know all the characters. I just knew enough about them to like care for the team. And I think the same thing happens with this one. I think the difference being that like each kid kind of gets like a B plot in each episode, and that's what they are. And I think that's absolutely acceptable for an ensemble cast. The main characters are, Evan and his mom and Gordon Bombay. Now, what I am kind of mixed on is Gordon Bombay and Evan's mom. What is her name?
Alex.
Is it Alex?
Alex.
Oh, Mara. I was about to say Linda. Okay. Alex. Alex and Gordon Bombay's relationship. How do we feel about it? Did it come too quick? Is it percolating just right? Did you guys see this coming a mile away?
I saw it coming a mile away. Of course. You know, it's a Disney show. It's a Disney family show. So of course a man and a woman and a grown man and a grown woman together, of course they're going to fall in love.
Mm-hmm. Eddie, did you see it coming a mile away?
I did, but I like the way they're playing it because like so far there's no romance yet. Right now they're friends, you know. And
wait, how far are you guys?
We caught up. They haven't, as of right now, they haven't dated or anything. Yeah.
Okay, but there is, I think there's a hint of romance. I mean, they're interested.
Oh, no, there's a hint of romance, but right now they're just like,
they're still courting
friends.
They are courting, yes.
Yeah, like, because I made that mistake when I was just like, wait, I thought they were already going out. And he's like, no, Gordon Bombay took Evan to the hockey game instead of her. And I remember, now I'm realizing, it's just like, what a Gordon Bombay move, right? Went over the kid first and then slipped it into the mom.
Oh, my God. This is like,
oh, I could have been right. I should have made a hockey pun. Then give her a little puck. Boom.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I don't feel good about this episode.
I liked it better before. Yeah, that was definitely a Gordon Bombay move. I don't know. I mean, I expected it. Do I care for it? No, not really. I care more about the other aspects of the show. And I actually do enjoy this show. Do you enjoy this show?
Oh yeah, I'm enjoying the show. I think I was surprised by the end of the second episode because I've been watching them week by week, right? Because I figured like let me do something unheard of for this podcast. Let me get ahead of schedule.
Yeah,
and then I discovered she's like, oh, it's week by week, and they've only been two episodes. God, what am I gonna do? I started liking the show. So yeah, I like the show. I think it's cute. I think it's charming. I think it's not trying to be more than it is, and that's absolutely okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And wow, this is the first 2021 property we enjoy.
And no.
What else did what else? So. Maybe maybe just me. I don't remember.
Maybe you. I'm trying to think. I mean, I was indifferent on Kong versus
Justice League. Saved by the Bell. You liked Saved by the Bell. That's
I like Saved by the Bell. Yeah, combat, but that was a 2020
coming. That's true.
That was, also, that was 2021. That's that
coming
counts.
To America.
I'm indifferent.
Yeah. Okay. That, a lot of it we've been indifferent to. I actually like the show, and I would continue watching it.
Yeah,
but
that would be.
Yeah, that would be my first, at least I think. But the question though is, do you think that the show was needed?
That's a really good question, because my answer is shockingly no. I don't, right? But I also never cared for the Mighty Ducks, so maybe that's might be why.
Interesting.
Because I feel like the Mighty Ducks is such a fine movie on its own. Like, why do we need a show? I think this is a show. So this is one of those shows where I'm just like, if it didn't have Gordon Bombay and it was just these kids, like like this scrappy group of kids, like, would I watch it? Probably not, because it's a hockey show. Mm-hmm. But could this show work without being a Mighty Duck show? Absolutely.
I disagree. I think that...
You think this show would not be the same if it didn't have the Mighty Ducks name?
No, because of what they did. They did the Cobra Kai thing, too, where they took something that you were familiar with and they turned it on its heels and shows you what actually can happen when you lose sight of yourself. Mm. And that is a message, too, that I actually enjoy. And it's also like... When you know, you idolize things that you watch in your youth, and then you see like, oh, hey, the reality of it is that these things do happen, you know, and that these things do get corrupted.
Yeah, but then they would have just been bad guys. It would have just been a little more stripped away of like, but it's, been a little
I
more
guess,
stripped away
as
of
a
that,
kid
but...
who watched it repeatedly and religiously. It's hard to realize that the Ducks now are just a bunch of assholes. They've completely lost sight of who they are, you know?
Yeah, maybe because. For me, Cobra Kai may have done it a little bit better, is why I'm kind of a little indifferent.
Don't
when
compare
it, comes
it
to that.
Cobra Kai though. They're
no, I'm not.
Yeah, because...
I am not. I'm just saying that only in that aspect, because okay. My argument here is just that I think that this show would be. I think this show, if you strip away the Mighty Ducks from it, would be fine on its own as like an original show, and. You know, I think putting a lot of that element of like, oh, the Cobra Kai element of like, you know, rooting for the bad guys and stuff. I think it's just like Brill seems like a competent writer where he would have been able to just say, just like, all right, they're just bad guys.
But we're not rooting for a bad guy. There is no bad guys.
You're right.
Here.
We're not rooting for them. We're just we're rooting for the underdogs. This is what this is. This is a classic underdog story. Right now, we're harping on the fact that like we're rooting against the ones we used to root for. Right. That's kind of like. That's such a smaller element than I mean, it's a big element of the show, but like it's a small element of why I like this show for me, which is ultimately why I think for me, like, this is just like it's not needed. That is not to say that I'm not enjoying the show. That's the, you know, I want to, because I feel like I very rarely say not needed, or do I don't know anymore. We've done too many episodes, guys.
Yeah, this is true.
Nicole, what do you think?
I mean, was it like, oh my god, they need to make a new Mighty Duck show? Oh my god, no. But what we got, I actually really enjoyed, and I'm disagreeing with your assessment that it didn't need to be Mighty Ducks. I do think that in response to the property of the Mighty Ducks and in response to the reputation that we were left with in the movie, they actually had something interesting to work with and to play mm-hmm. with. And I do dig the message, too, of like losing sight of yourself and also like what's more important, you know? Like, is it about... I mean, yeah, it's great to get into great colleges and to think about it when you're young. But when you're a kid, you should also have fun and not let those things cloud you and like ruin your childhood.
I mean, I agree 100%. I think that might be the strongest message mm-hmm. for this show, because as a society, we have gotten way... I know they're amping up for comedy, but we have gotten way too scared about the futures of our kids and kind of like this idea of almost us living vicariously through them. Mm-hmm. To get them into the best colleges and stuff. And I'm like, I was just talking to my mentee from the undergraduate program that I was in. And, you know, he was already asking me questions for grad school. And the first thing I told him is like, okay, I'm so glad you're asking this. And I'm so glad you're considering higher education, like to continue a finessing career. But I'm like, don't rush into it. Like, I'm not saying that you don't need to I'm not saying don't go to grad school, like grad school, right? I was just saying slow down, enjoy, work the field, and then see what comes of it, right? Like, I think there's this constant rush for excellence that, like, parents, like, push on their kids that I think is hurting them. And that, I agree with you. I think that's, and we did, I'm so, you know, I'm glad we're talking about it now, but, like, that is such a, that resonated.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. And I see that. And that is mostly through Sophie's eyes. And we see that mostly through Sophie's eyes. And I think that's such a, I think that that really does hit me a little hard there, because I think it's just like, that is an important message that we should, I'm glad Disney is tackling that because I think that's an actual issue.
Yeah.
That families can wrap their heads around.
Absolutely. And it's not something that I mean, I don't watch that much different television shows, but I'm like, whoa, this is something that I've never really gotten from a show before, at least recently, you know. So it is addressing something really unique too, that I think is also like more so getting carried away today, you know, especially with like those scandals of people like paying to get their children into college and whatnot. You know,
and we were just watching the documentary on Netflix about that, the college Varsity Blues, the college admission scandal, which. And I'm just going to go on a tirade here. It's, I don't think, which I'm sorry. It's just like, I understand this is a scandal, but like, come on, like rich people have been doing this all the time.
It's
like,
just coming out.
No, I'm just saying, it's just like, you know, you donate like $25 million to a Ivy League school. Of course your son's going to get in. Don't give me this bullshit that they might get it. It's just like, you pay $25 million. I promise you that kid is getting in, you know? So I don't know. I think it's just like, I think this colleges were just upset that there was a middleman making money off of them. That's really what it comes down to. Sorry.
Yeah, true.
That's my two cents on that whole thing that no one asked for, but it came up organically and here I am.
There you go. Hey. Awesome.
What do you mean? You have the notes on it right now. How can I insert this in conversation? Well, what I do like though about the revival is the insert of the parent element.
Yeah.
That we don't have in the other D movies. So there is like parents do exist. And they have the influence on their kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're a parent, you want the best for your kids. You're going to push. You're going to push hard sometimes because you want them to be excellent and you want them to get all the opportunities that they can. And from what I can just see is like, you know, there's going to be competition. So I can see that element of parents just wanting to be like, you want to be on the Ducks because it gives you more opportunities and possibilities of like putting in your college application and getting scholarships. Totally get that. And that's totally real. And it's not evil. And you know, the parents aren't the bad guys here because you have that moment when the dad realizes, you know, I realized that you were so happy when you realized that you were going to be on the Dope Bothers.
Yeah.
You know? And how sad you became and how you lost that smile when it just turned around.
Yeah.
So it's just like, yeah.
What
parent? Being happy is important. Yeah.
What kind of parent do you think you're going to be, Eddie? Like, do you think you're going to be more like Alex? Or are you going to be more like the enemy? The
There's
lawyer.
No enemies.
The lawyer. What are you talking about? The Which mom lawyer? Of the Mighty Ducks. She is kind of like the bad guy. All right, fine. Or maybe Sophie's parents. You're right. They're not bad guys. They just want what's best for their child, and I think that pushes them to extreme pressures and stuff. But like, who do you think you're gonna be?
I think I want to strive to be like the Alex Morrow character of just kind of wanting my kid to be a kid and to have fun and to enjoy its life and you know, also to guide them. And also, I mean, that great moment when he was asking her to tell me what to do. Do I have this opportunity to join the Mighty Ducks? And leave the Don't Bothers, you know, what, you know, this is like, I can get scholarships and stuff. And he's like, tell me what to do. And she's like, no, I'm not going to tell you what to do. This is a decision that you have to make on your own.
Yeah, that was a cute moment. Good parenting, yeah.
What kind of parent do you think you'll be, Nicole?
Oh, I'm not going to be a parent. I'm not financially nor emotionally stable enough to have a child.
A good answer, Nicole. Good answer.
What do you mean? That's Bombay.
You're just gonna take in the hockey team.
Yeah. But what about you, Rolando? What parent are you gonna
honestly
be?
I want to be the Alex, I do, but I'm most likely, I feel like I'm gonna end up being more like the boss kind of mom, like running the team, like planning their big parties and kind of like very, very much involved, like living. I want to be Alex, but I see myself becoming the other lady.
Your slap shot. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. like taking, like, I don't know what, God, that's the one thing I'm like, the only thing is just like, ideally my child doesn't get into sports, but like, it's inevitable, right? They might. I did. My sister did. So mm-hmm. like, it's just like inevitable that a kid will join the team sports. It's just like, how involved do I plan on being in that sport for my kid? Mm-hmm. And I see myself like, I want to be like Alex and say, no, I'm not going to get that involved. I'm going to be like a normal parent, but I see myself going the extra mile. Like, I'll be with the camera and be like, we're going to make commercials for you guys to raise money. That's what we're going to do. You know, throwing myself into it all. But not living vicarious through it, right? I'm not going to be pushing my child for greatness. It would just be my place in that team, right?
What about you? Yeah.
So, somehow always comes back to me. It's about me. But there you go. That's the parent that I most likely will be.
Well,
and me and Eddie will be butting heads, apparently.
Yeah, I think you're going to overwork him if you're going to be that girl and she's going to be Alex. What was that character's name again?
I don't remember her name.
What?
The boss. Stephanie? Let's call her the boss.
Stephanie. No. Stephanie.
Stephanie?
I think so, Stephanie. Yeah.
I see myself being a Stephanie.
Yeah, how fun. Well, what kind of parent would you guys be? Also, you know, which version of the Ducks do you want to play on? Are you even into hockey? You should reach out to us and let us know. You can email us, remakesrebootsrevivals@gmail.com. You can Instagram us at remakesrebootsrevivals. We're on Facebook. We just got a lovely message recently on there, and we would love some more. Facebook.com/remakesrebootsrevivals. We're on Twitter at remakespodcast. We also have a hotline. Rolando, do you have a jingle yet for it?
No, but I will be working on it soon enough. But you guys can call us. Our number is 862-248-2326. That's 862-248-2326. Call, leave us a message. We might play it on the air.
We might. Yeah. All right, cool. Well, let's get into a V formation here and hit the ice.
Has the V formation shown up on the show yet?
No, yeah. I mean, it's in the opening credits, but it'll play.
That's the V.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. Well, I'm sure that'll be like the final episode when they get into V form. It's just absolutely. Like, yay! And I'll be like, what happened? I don't get it. No, of course. I saw the Mighty Ducks guys. I know. But
that would be funny if you would be like, what? But yeah.
No, like everyone remembers the V formation, but like it made such a little. I know that they it wasn't that big of a deal in the movie.
Ducks fly together, man.
It's no, but I know, but like the V formation, it wasn't like they didn't win the game because of that.
No, but it was a great play.
It was a great play.
It was about them working together as a team. Yeah.
I guess it was just like because of the Ducks and the V formation. I don't know. I was surprised at like how important people made it out to be, and I'm just like, this wasn't even that important to the movie. That's it.
One final complaint.
No, but two charming properties and stuff. But that's
yes. It. Good. Yeah. This was enjoyable. Finally, in May, we had a good one.
It took us until May.
Took us 5 months. Yeah. But all right. So it's Cinco de Mayo. It's for you. It's probably the day after. Happy Cinco de Mayo. You know. Hope you're not hungover. And thank you for listening.
Thank you guys. And until next time, stay unoriginal.